Coming up on show 1022, VW's Power Day. What is it? What did they announce? And why is it important? Hopefully we'll answer that. Stick around, I'll tell you more. So we'll talk about the cost savings they're making, the batteries that you'll be using in VWs in the future, where they're going to get them from, and what about bi-directional charging as well? Yep, that was covered off as part of VW's Power Day. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening in the world, welcome to EV News Daily. Monday, 15th of March today. My name is Martin Lee. Normally, I go through every EV story and pick out the details you need to know to stay updated, informed, without spending hours doing it every day. I'm here to save you time. Today, though, it's a single topic podcast. We do this quite rarely, but all about VW's Power Day, which was earlier today. They say the goal of the roadmap that they announce is to reduce the complexity and cost of the battery in order to make the electric vehicle attractive and viable to as many people as possible. At the same time, VW as a group, not the brand, but the group is securing the supply of cells beyond 2025. And in Europe alone, six gigafactories with a total production capacity of 240 gigawatt hours established by the end of the decade. Volkswagen vigorously pursuing expansion of the public fast charging network. With this in mind, they're cooperating with the likes of BP, Iberdrola, and Enel X in Italy as well. Let's dig into what a lot of this means then. So the first two, by the way, no cars being announced today. This is like Tesla's battery day. Very similar, actually. A little more simple, I would say. There was some stuff on Tesla's battery day to do with tabless cell design that I had to go away and learn and kind of upskill a bit. This was a little more straightforward, or I could alternatively say lacking as much detail. Didn't go into as much to do with energy density improvements, etc. But anyway, the first two factories we'll talk about. So the first two factories operating are going to be in Sweden. That's the Northvolt thing I've talked about before, and in Salzgitter as well. So that's in Germany. In response to increased demand, Volkswagen is refocusing their previous plan in relation to cell production, and they are going to concentrate production of their premium cells. I'll explain what this means. Their premium cells are going to be coming out of the Northvolt Sweden factory. That's a collaboration with Northvolt. I think VW are taking an increased stake around 20%, but they didn't say the exact number. The production of the cells begins 2023. When I say premium, I mean these are going to be the high capacity, high energy density ones, you know, going in Porsches and fast Audis. The Gigafactory, currently operated by Volkswagen in Salzgitter, will start to produce a new type of cell. What they described as the unified cell. The unified cell is going to be used for high volume segment vehicles from 2025 onwards. And they will develop innovations in process design and chemistry. When I mention chemistry, they will be moving to the LFP, lithium iron phosphate chemistry, that again, I think many people first heard about really when Tesla put them in the Standard Range Plus Chinese cars. But that technology, and many people give Tesla credit for that as well, I should say. However, BYD, and so their cells aren't particularly great, by the way. The ones going into the Teslas, are fine. But I think the BYD-designed LFP batteries and cells are probably industry-leading in terms of not really disadvantaged against the cells with cobalt in. And so VW moving that way as well. Look, this is an old, boring technology used in commercial vehicles forever. But they're cheaper. And they are sorting out a lot of the issues which were to do with how fast you could charge them, particularly at cold temperatures as well. The new Teslas have been struggling with that, but that's gradually getting fully understood. So VW talked about their factory partners. It doesn't sound like they're building them all themselves, not 100%. And again, it was one of the more ambiguous parts of the day that I cannot find an answer on. They said they're looking for partners to build battery factories and gigafactories. So the one in Germany in Salzgitter, that is, they're buying out Northvolt. That's going to be a VW facility. And then the first one that's in construction now, that is a partnership in Sweden with Northvolt. But the other four across Europe, and this is just Europe, not US, not China, it wasn't clear. It wasn't clear if they're going to be 100% solely owned, whether VW are getting into the gigafactory business, JVs, or whether they're just going to work with partnerships. So I'll continue to dig on that one. Let's talk about the Unified Cell. They are talking about launching this in 2023 and installing it across brands in 80% of the vehicles in the group. Again, we talk about VW, the group. So 4 out of 5 vehicles in the group, by the end of the decade, 2030, will have this new they'll be based on the Unified Cell. VW is aiming to gradually reduce battery costs in the entry-level segments by 50%. That's probably one of the headlines coming out of their Power Day, is a 50% reduction in costs, which is just mega in this business. And in the volume segments, that's in the entry level segment, volume segment 30%, that's still nothing to be sniffed at. And of course, VW need to make cars for the masses, for entry level, all the way up to, yeah, of course, you know, fast Porsches. So that's how they're going to do it. They're saving 15% on the cell design, 10% on production, 5% on the battery systems itself, and 20% on material cost savings. They say we'll use our economies of scale to the benefit of our customers when it comes to the battery too. On average, we'll drive down the cost of battery systems to well below 100 euros per kilowatt hour. The new unified cells are prismatic cells. So largely, EV batteries are either prismatic. These are the ones that are, they've got solid sides, they're like little boxes, little plastic boxes, and then there's pouch cells, and also the cylindrical cells, which, you know, Tesla and Panasonic tend to be most famous for. The prismatic cells, which VW are moving almost entirely to, mark the best way to get towards solid-state cell technology, the next quantum leap in battery technology, which VW anticipates for the middle of the decade. Now, this is working in the lab but hasn't been commercialized, and that's their next challenge. They'll use cell-to-pack technology to integrate them into the vehicles in the same way that BYD do with their Blade batteries. And again, you know, because Tesla has such a high profile, and they talk about integrating, you know, getting rid of the modules, because a quick explainer, if you're new to the podcast, little battery cells are made into slightly bigger modules. Those modules tend to be quite self-contained in terms of things like battery management, and then they're put into a combined to make a whole battery, and again, more battery management on top of that. VW will do this, where each small prismatic cell, let me describe it, in shape, a bit like a VHS cassette, but bigger in every way, slightly larger. Quite a bit larger than a VHS cassette, but it's that kind of shape. And the battery management will be inside every single cell. So then you can make an entire battery pack of any size out of just combining as many cells as you need. It's called cell-to-car technology. It's one of the names that's given. Tesla are doing the same thing with all of their vehicles, like the Model Y being made in Berlin this year, the semi-truck, the Roadster. And it's a way of saving costs and saving weight and saving space as well. Some questions around how serviceability gets affected by that. If you're making one big battery, rather than being able to replace a module, can you replace just a cell? Now, of course, if you're Tesla with cylindrical cells, the answer is no. Far too integrated. VW saying it increases serviceability. The way they're doing it is with large, you know, much bigger cells, like big blocks, like big bricks, really. And so if one of those goes faulty, by the sounds of it, they were suggesting, didn't say it, that there's more serviceability there than Tesla's way of doing it, of hundreds of, you know, thousands of little cells, of just being able to take one out, one self-contained cell. So, again, the way BYD are doing it with their Blade battery, and it's how VW will do it. According to Electrive, the Audi boss Marcus Duesmann indicated that the electric sedan being developed in the Audi project Artemis will be the first VW car to use cell-to-pack technology. During his appearance, he confirmed that the vehicle will be launched at the end of 2024, contradicting recent rumours that it had been put back. Well, current cells used by VW come from mainly two suppliers. So VW at the moment use LG and SKI. And this is a huge blow to those South Korean companies, because I think a fact not really reported very much today, at least in the media and the reports that I saw, this is the world's largest or second largest automaker, depending on how you cut out the pie, but say VW is the second biggest automaker in the world. saying to those South Korean battery companies, LG, SKI, that they will no longer, that the technology they make, which is the pouch cells, is no longer good enough and will no longer be used after 2023. Well, that's a mega blow. I mean, that's almost a headline in itself. Both have been investing, LG and SK, billions in pouch cell technology in China, Europe and US. LG builds pouch cells for Tesla, GM, Hyundai. LG builds the cylindrical cells, the 2170s for Tesla as well. Remember too, and this is a slight digression, but go with me on this. I've talked about recently how LG and SKI are involved in a very long-running and incredibly bitter legal dispute in the US between the two Korean companies, all to do with intellectual property, which culminated recently in some restrictions of trade and VW being told that they would lose supply of cells for their Tennessee factory for the VW ID4. Now, all the focus at the time was on the two Korean battery companies and what it would mean and all those things. And I thought at the time about VW. And if I was a board member in that German boardroom sitting around the table and these two South Korean companies are duking it out in the courts, and then they were the, like, VW was the casualty because they were told you won't get the cells that they thought they were going to get. I get the feeling here that this is a little bit of, right, you two crack on, we're going our own way, because their cells are now going to be coming from China. Huge defeat for both South Korean companies. And in a way, has it been self-inflicted? That's a topic for another day. But very bad news for them, and great news for the Chinese companies who are going to be picking up that supply. The likes of A123, Guzhong, CATL, the new suppliers, the main suppliers, along with Northvolt of VW, of their unified cell. So again, VW buying as many cells as they possibly can, but they will mostly, 80% anyway, will be exactly the same size, shape and specifications. Well, the Swedish battery maker Northvolt announced separately they'd received an order of $14 billion over the next 10 years from VW. VW increasing their share in Northvolt, as I say, and also buying them out of their joint venture in Germany, using the LFP, lithium iron phosphate cells, for their volume cars. But what about the high-end cars, the final 20%, the big fast Porsches and Audis, etc.? They will still use the NMC cells, which are in action today. They're ones with more cobalt, more nickel, higher manganese content being looked at as well for larger and powerful vehicles. Of course, even yesterday I was talking about Scania and MAN, the trucking business of VW's, businesses of VW. So again, looking at various technologies for smaller cases, smaller use cases. Solid state batteries are another big thing as well, often by the mainstream media touted as some sort of magic bullet. It's really not. But solid state battery technology from their partner QuantumScape, of which VW are an investor, will halve the charging time. And, you know, even if you just take out the weight of the cathode alone in a typical ID3, that's 100 kilos of weight saved overnight by going to the lithium metal batteries, which are kind of known as solid state. But also the charge time is going to be vastly decreased, you know, taking for those charge times from 25 minutes down to 12 minutes. Next, VW had big headlines today about charging. They say, along with our partners, they will operate 18,000 public fast charging points in Europe by 2025, representing a five-fold expansion of the fast charging network compared to today, and corresponding to about a third of what is actually needed, the total demand for the continent in 2025. And again, the second bit of ambiguity today is, I can't work out when VW say they're increasing their fast charging points they will operate by 2025. What does that mean? Is VW becoming a CPO? Is VW a charge point operator like Ionity? No, I don't think so. Some of the languages, you know, and again, the main headlines just get written, oh, VW putting 18,000 fast chargers on the road. What does it mean? That analysis hasn't quite been fully thought through. Again, maybe I just need to sit down and ask some questions of somebody in VW, because Volkswagen wants to establish throughout Europe 8,000 fast chargers with BP. The fast chargers of 150 kilowatts or more will be installed at 4,000 BP stations and Aral, which they trade under in Germany, service stations. The majority of these in Germany and Great Britain, in cooperation with Iberdrola, VW covering the main routes in Spain. In Italy, they're working with NLX, or NL, to establish a fast-charging network on the motorways and urban areas. Volkswagen will invest €400 million in the program by 2025, also investments being borne by their partners. So I don't think this is going to be a VW-branded charger. Hopefully, what it does is bring things like the plug-and-charge technology to more chargers, because the VW MEB platform, remember, has that ability. They've designed all of their future cars to just pull into the chargers, plug them in, walk away. Now, it's not working on the ID4 at the minute on Electrify America, which is a little embarrassing. The whole thing... it's not a shambles, but it's not working. So that they haven't activated it and turned it on for the ID4 for a few months. The first customer car is going to be delivered without that. But the platform can do it. It's been designed with it. So hopefully we're moving. Those partnerships mean that we turn up to DC fast chargers, we plug them in, we walk away. The billing happens in the background. Their cars are designed like that. Electrify America planning 3,500 fast charging stations in North America by the end of the year. China's adding 17,000 fast chargers as part of Volkswagen's joint venture called CAMS, C-A-M-S. Now, grid integration is next. Volkswagen intending to integrate the electric car into private, commercial and public energy systems in the future. This is where they really diverge from Tesla. So up until now, they've been talking about batteries and technology and chemistry, and it's all very similar to what Tesla is doing and cell-to-car technology. But Volkswagen are really keen, very strong in your car being part of an integrated grid solution. So... you know, I mean, this is going to be like a 15-second kind of, you know, apologies if it's 15 seconds of mansplaining the grid. But if you're new to the podcast, here goes. Power grids have to be designed to operate at their peak demand, normally 4 till 7 p.m. in the afternoon, unless it's very sunny places like California and air cons on, etc. during the day. But normally, demand at its worst, when people get home from work, 4 till 7 p.m., that's when you have to, you know, or there's a World Cup on and it's halftime and everyone makes a cup of tea or gets a, you know, cold beer, right? So you can't have the power grid going down, having blackouts. So you have to design your power grids around the world with high voltage cables and all of the bits to associated with that for the peak, right? And a bit to spare. What you don't want is to spend so much money to have the grid working at that level, because at 2 o'clock in the morning, everyone's asleep and the grid's massively underutilized, and that's an inefficiency. So what they're thinking is actually, how can our cars and our home storage in the future be used to soak up energy when we're all sleeping and store it, or from our renewables on our roofs or wind turbines? And actually, can our cars charge overnight and then put energy back into the grid when it's needed? And in that way, actually, not only can the grid more than cope with us all driving EVs, EVs actually help the grid become more efficient. Anyway, that was more than 10, 15 seconds, wasn't it? But that's the theory. VW, really big on this. And they want to allow electricity from solar systems, etc., to be stored in their vehicles and fed back into the network as it's needed. The opposite of Tesla. Elon Musk has poo-pooed the idea multiple times. Battery day, Elon said, it doesn't work. You think, you know, there's a, you know, if you have vehicle to grid and your grid goes down and the guy at the end of the road has come to work out what's happened with the substation, and your car is, you know, the grid is down, but your car is putting electricity back into the grid, it electrocutes people. Broadly untrue, but of course, you know, Elon's fans took that as the gospel. There are ways of making it safe. It's a legitimate concern, by the way, of having cars power the grid in terms of the energy going back onto the grid, but all solvable, difficult problems, all fixable. And VW saying this is where they're going to focus a lot of their energy as well, so that customers can be independent of the power grid. And commercial customers as well can get better deals on their electricity supplies. Models based on the MEB platform, it's the ID3, ID4, ID5, etc. The MEB platform across the group, by the way, the Skodas and the Seats, they will have bidirectionality, vehicle to grid, built in next year. Again, third mega headline from this. So exciting. You know, I must say, we're looking at you, Lucid, which are launching cars this year that do that. We're looking at you, Hyundai, with their new platform, the new Ioniq and the Kias. They will have bidirectionality in, but I don't know what level of power will come out of the VWs, whether it is going to be like a little 3.5 kilowatt plug socket, for instance, or whether you can, you know, plug a big old chunky cable in and take some more juice out of it. It was light on detail, but just that headline, next year, the platform goes bi-directional. Huge news. VW offering that complete package as well of home chargers for your premises at home or at work, which are bi-directional. And so they will offer that complete suite. They had them on stage at the presentation. Next, let's conclude then, because it's almost been 20 minutes. Bloomberg saying that the push is going to cost $29 billion and will make VW and their partners the world's second largest cell producer after CATL. After years of trailing Tesla and the bruising experience of diesel emissions cheating, and I know I owned a Golf and I was caught up in the whole stench of Dieselgate. I got stung with that. VW has switched gears in a big way, and they're reorganizing a sprawling company. An almost impossible task, and reorganizing and re-engineering it from the ground up. Of course, led by their group CEO, Herbert Diess, an engineer by trade. And he's in engineering, a rethinking of how VW does business. The company boasts the industry's most comprehensive EV push, with intentions to add 50 pure electric cars to the lineup by 2030. I think it also tightens VW's grip on supply chains. Others are well and truly put on notice as of today. If they didn't think VW were serious, they absolutely are. Was this a perfect event? I think it was extremely good in many ways. I think there are still executives from VW who will, I don't know, do a press call or a phoner or something with a journalist and talk about how great combustion technology is. On the same day that the announcement came out, VW of America put out a press release about how great their new fossil gearbox was. And it's like, come on, just join this, join it up. Just give pistons a break for a day on your big EV announcement day. So, not without their challenges, and clearly a massive company built on combustion with plenty of people working in the company not sold on EVs yet, but from the top down, they certainly are, and I'm very impressed. And I've been a big critic of the company. Like I say, I was caught up in Dieselgate with our 2010 Blue Motion Golf that went back to a dealer that really did not care. When I said to the dealer when it went back for its software fix, are you embarrassed about this? And like, this is a poor way of behaving. I've been driving past, you know, primary schools emitting not what I was told the car emitted. And the service manager, the verbal shrug of their shoulders and said, hey, you know, do you want to sign up to our extended, whatever it's called, like the extended service package thing? And I'm like, hang on, my car's gone back to you because you cheated. And you are upselling me. And I wrote to the dealer principal and said, you know, I've owned Audis, TT, and, you know, many Golfs, and I'm a bit Skodas. I'm a big VW fan. I feel you've behaved poorly here. I received bad service from your service manager today by not acknowledging it and just upselling me. And I never got a response. And that's a terrible way to behave to a single customer. They didn't care. They were so big. Like, who cares? But Dieselgate did sting them, not just financially, but reputationally as well. And I would think more than twice before I bought another VW Group car. They've got a long way to go to build that reputation up with just me. What about you? I want to know what you think after this, please. That's the facts, my interpretation, or personal stories in there as well. Hopefully you like the podcast today. But now I want to hear from you. My address is hello@evnewsdaily.com, and I would really like to get your interpretation of that. And that is your podcast for today. We really couldn't do this show without the kind patrons via the Patreon website, patreon.com/evnewsdaily. I really am so grateful to Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com, Derek Riley and his EV Review Island YouTube channel, and Richard of the Buying and Selling EVs in the UK. Visit rsev.co.uk. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. Oh, do remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.